Wow, Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful!
Oh my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Well, gentlemen, after going, a dozen years without a physical, Paulie Pigskin over here has endured two physicals in about 48 hours. The first was the Monday Night Football game. And the second was a couple of hours ago. Somebody please give me your rendition of Moon River.
Oh!
Because here we are coming off our appointment, and I'm not sure we're better for it, although I will say that the techs and the other nurses consistently referred to me as a Cardinals player. So that must mean I'm in pretty good shape. Welcome into Cardinals Underground. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Jim Omohundro on azcardinals.com.
Well, you know what, Paulie? I'm glad to see you actually went. You finally went. Doc Cole, of course, a team doctor here for the Arizona Cardinals. I'm glad you're not a young man anymore. You've got to take care of business. Did he rough you up? That's what we want to know right now. Did he slap you around a little bit, Paulie? Because, you know, he does have that aggressive bedside manner.
I did ask him if he was using the whole fist at one point, but that's not material to this podcast. Darren Urban, I will say that more than one nurse had mentioned how they had a Cardinals nose tackle in just a couple of weeks ago. And I said, really? I said, Gabe Watson? No. And I said, Alan Branch? And they said, Ron Wolfley. They weren't really football fans. And they said, yeah, Ron. Well, I said, well, he's not really the nose tackle, although he does kind of play one in his spare time, et cetera, at the training table. So
that was weak, Paul.
Gentlemen, there are needs and there are wants in life. I want to do this podcast with somebody other than Darren Urban and Ron Wolfley, but I need to do the podcast with you two because that's what the suits tell me to do around here. The Niners needed that game on Monday night. The Cardinals simply wanted it. And thus, we had the outcome 24-9 on the short end, the Redbirds.
You know, it's funny you bring that up, Paulie, because I needed to go to Doc Cole for my physical, whereas you wanted to go to Doc Cole for your physical.
120 over 70, by the way. Thank you.
Very appropriate right there. Look, what happened to the Arizona Cardinals last Monday night against the San Francisco 49ers was, I think, an aberration. It was an anomaly, if you will, an abomination. Did they play well? Are you kidding me? They put together maybe their worst game of the Ken Whisenhunt era outside of the New York Jets and what happened.
Okay, so can I hit the brakes right there?
Yes.
It wasn't just the 7 turnovers to you. It goes beyond that.
No, you had 11 penalties as well. You have 11 penalties and 7 turnovers right there in 2 games against the 49ers. The Cardinals have had 23 penalties and a minus 6 in the turnover column.
Ouch.
You're not going to win a lot of games when you do that. What is interesting about that game to me is they looked prepared. They were ready to play. The intensity level was there. This was not going to the New England Patriots. This was not going up and playing against the Patriots where they looked totally disinterested. They were jacked up. As a matter of fact, Coach Wiz, I think, would tell you that he thought they might have been too fired up to play this game. Just, look at
the offsides penalties the first series.
The offsides penalties in that first series. 3 of them in that first series right there. They may have psyched themselves out. But to me, they were intense. They were prepared to play this game. Things did not go well. And the one thing I want to say about the turnovers here, and I know that I'm rambling, but that's what I do. Look, Kurt Warner threw 2 bad interceptions, in my opinion. 2 bad interceptions. But the fumbles, when you look at the fumbles, I have to tell you, if they were being careless with the ball, if they were waving around the ball, sometimes a defensive back or a linebacker can come up and make a play and put the helmet right on the ball, whether he meant to or not, where suddenly the ball is going to come out, even if you're protecting it. I didn't see Timmy Hightower waving it around. He didn't even see the hit coming that hit him in the back. I didn't see Beanie waving the ball around. I look at those fumbles, and again, LaRod Stevens-Howling running the post route against Patrick Willis. He caught the ball. It was going to be a nice play. He was going to put it away. Credit Patrick Willis. He put his hand right on the ball as he was trying to tuck it away. Again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm only offering reasons for these guys.
Well, and I understand reasons. I think 90% of fumbles in this league would have a reason. I think usually there is a good play by the defender. But, I mean, even Coach Wiz said that in his press conference earlier this week. You know, where the 49ers going after the ball, and Wiz is like, everybody goes after the ball. I guess I understand that they made good plays, but you have to understand that everybody's going to be going after the ball, and there has to be a certain amount of care taken. Now, I get maybe one fumble where a guy makes a good play, but, I mean, after that, I mean, if you've got to give up a little bit of something to make sure you're not turning the ball over, then maybe you need to do that.
Maybe we need to revisit our assertion that the Cardinals were indeed ready to go. Because, I mean, we saw it all week. They wanted it. I mean, they got sick to their stomach watching the game tape from week one. Of course, if they had a problem watching that game tape, this game tape against the Niners will be even worse. They're going to have to bring in the roll-aids or what have you. But maybe, just maybe, they weren't as ready as they thought they were. Because they didn't seem to play with that desperation. See, because, guys, isn't when you get that many forced fumbles, okay, and I agree with you, Darren, Maybe one helmet on one football, okay, that's right. The over-under. When you start getting into five fumbles and seven turnovers, that, to me, is a byproduct of the harder-hitting team.
Well, I mean, I guess
that doesn't mean you're not ready to play.
Yeah, I did think they were ready to play.
But if you're getting out physical, if they're bringing more of an intensity.
Well, and you're saying, and by your definition, I guess you would say they're out physical. You know, I don't know what it is. I hate to say it like this because this sounds bad going forward in a lot of ways. But you start to wonder, do the 49ers under Mike Singletary have the Cardinals number? I mean, that happens sometimes. We've seen it locally with the Suns and the Spurs. Suns had a good team for a long time. They could not beat the Spurs. Could not happen. And I'm not saying that this is, and maybe this is just a 2009 thing, but, you know, maybe they just have their number right now.
Were there teams, Wolf, that you went into in your 10-year career where you just mentally didn't have that confidence against a certain team? Because you can't watch that Monday night game and not wonder. I thought the same thing in the second half on the sideline. I'm like, man, it's almost as if the Cardinals offense is psyched out against this Niners defense. It really, just mentally.
That's
just,
what I mean.
They just didn't seem to have the same confidence. See, they weren't as comfortable.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that, guys, because I can tell you that I thought the Arizona Cardinals offensive line, I thought they were able to run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
Beanie Wells had a nice game and a nice game going, a couple of holding penalties, and he would have rushed for over 100 yards against one of the best rush defenses in the National Football League.
And they almost rode him on his back into the game.
And in the San Francisco 49ers. When you talk about being ready to play and you talk about intensity, I always look at the line of scrimmage. I always do. I have a tendency of doing that because that is the tip of the spear. That is where faces get flattened right there. And again, I thought the offensive line did a nice job against San Francisco in running the football. But again, all the fumbles really, they were never able to get into a rhythm. But I will say this, the 49ers were able to rush three and twice sack Kurt Warner by rushing three. They were able to get pressure again. That was the Achilles heel right there and has been the Achilles heel. And I also want to say that Kurt Warner from the get-go did not look sharp.
I agree with that.
He did not look sharp. He did not look like Kurt Warner. I will point to one player in particular where he had a trips formation to his right. Steve Breston, it was a 3rd and 4. Steve Breston ran it out, and Kurt Warner threw the ball out of bounds and led Steve Breston out of bounds. They did not convert that one little third down right there, but boy, did that speak volumes to me, because we're talking about the most accurate passer in the game of football today. And when I saw that throw leading Steve Breston out of bounds when he was wide open on the little out route right there, that told me everything I pretty much needed to know. Kurt Warner was not at his best in this game.
I thought the same thing on his first interception, that one down there. I mean, the first interception down near the goal line where they finally, it was 10-0, but they were making a move and it looked like they'd at least get a field goal out of it, and they're moving down there, and on the play where he threw the interception, the 49ers rushed two. Justin Smith dropped into coverage. They had nine guys back there, And instead of maybe waiting or dumping it off to maybe where you could get a few yards or everything, he tried to drop it into a hole down, and I can't remember who the receiver, it might have been Breston there too, I can't remember though. He tried to drop it into a little area down near the pylon that had no chance of getting in there, and the free safety or the one of the safeties just came up and was watching it the whole way and made the easy interception.
You know, we didn't realize, too, is that Shaunte Spencer, you just truly forgot that Shaunte Spencer was the two-year teammate at Pitt of Larry Fitzgerald.
I didn't forget that.
And,
I think I wrote that.
And matched up against him. I mean, we all, what did we talk about? Oh, we go, oh, Nate, no more Nate Clements, right? Okay. Yep. And, you know, Shaunte Spencer did a heck of a job, and the Niners did exactly what they were able to do in week one against Fitz.
You know what, though? Again, I'll go back to the Kurt Warner thing. I'm sorry. I have to go back to this. They spend a lot of time against Larry Fitzgerald? You better believe it. Shaunte Spencer had a lot of help there. They were also icing Larry Fitzgerald a lot.
Yeah.
They were not going to allow Larry Fitzgerald to win this game for the Cardinals. You have to win somewhere else. And the problem was, to me, Kurt Warner was not at his best reading the coverages. And I'll go back to another example, the pick he threw where he was trying to get the ball to Anquan Boldin. Behind him, Steve Breston had come wide open on a dig route, and he was literally in the field of vision. If indeed Kurt was looking at Anquan, he had to have seen, one would think, Steve Breston running the dig route behind him that was wide open. And again, Kurt tried to force it into Anquan Boldin, and you can say Anquan didn't finish the route. He thought it was man, and Kurt was leading. You can tell me all that you want. The point is, he missed a wide-open Steve Breston behind him, and that's something you just don't see. You don't see it out of Kurt Warner.
All right, so, Wolf, you brought up the New England loss a year ago, right, which ended up being utterly meaningless in the scope of the entire season and the run to the Super Bowl. Is this game just superfluous there, Darren Urban? I mean, well, do we just discount it entirely?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think you can say that sitting here today because they have yet to clinch the division. I do think it will end up being somewhat meaningless unless you want to talk about maybe the difference between the third and the fourth seed. This might have cost them a chance to be the third seed. But they weren't going to – I don't think they were going to catch the Vikings for the number two, whether they won or lost. And so, yeah, I do, and I think they're going to end up winning the division. So, no, I don't think in the short term this will mean anything. Now, long term, all of a sudden you got a 49ers team that's supposedly up and coming. We'll see the improvements they can make next year, and all of a sudden they'll have the knowledge that they knocked off this team twice, and they weren't even quote unquote there yet going into next year. But for now, I do think that, yeah, I don't know if it's going to mean a whole lot. As long as the Cardinals take care of business, they have the Lions this week, they have the Rams next week, there is no reason in God's green world that they shouldn't win both these games. They have to win both these games. Even if they win this weekend and the 49ers lose to the Eagles and you clinch, I think you still need to come back and have a really strong game against the Rams. I think that's a must. I think the only one you think, you know, maybe we rest or whatever, you might think about that Packers game. But I think where this team is right now, I think the next 2 weeks, they need to go and show everybody, including themselves, that they're ready for the playoffs.
All right, well, they lost more than a game. Matt Ware, their backup safety, done on injured reserve with a knee injury. And also the kicker, Neil Rackers, he is dealing with that groin injury, and we saw it surface in the game against the Niners. In fact, the Cardinals have gone ahead and signed kicker Mike Nugent, and at least will be the kicker going forward for the Lions game. So Larry Fitzgerald, by the way, good news on that one, just a bone bruise coming off the MRI, and so he is out on the practice field as to what extent and his availability come Sunday against the Lions. We'll have to stay tuned on that one. But, I mean, Wolf, as well as this team played against the Vikings, and it, I mean, they looked playoff ready to go after that Vikings game. I mean, you know, what does this game do to your confidence, and how much, you know, work
absolutely
do they need
now? You know, absolutely nothing. Again, I look at the anomaly of seven turnovers, and I know you guys are pointing to it, and you guys are saying, yeah, you just can't turn the ball over seven times, and I get that, guys. But let me just make two comments here. Number one, and I don't say this as a trump card kind of way, but I played the game. I realize you can sit there and be holding the ball and not waving it around and not protecting it, and somebody comes up and guess what? Hits the sweet spot and the ball comes out. There's nothing you can do about it. Walter Payton will put the ball on the ground. He was the best at keeping the ball. Emmitt Smith would put the ball on the ground if it's hit right. Now, there are people that do wave it around and do not secure it the way that it should. I want to go back to that and make that point, because you said Ken Wisenhunt got up there and said, well, you can't do that. It's unacceptable. Let me say this. Of course he's going to say that. And I'm not saying he's being disingenuous. A head coach in the National Football League, any coach in the National Football League, can never, would never, and will never come forward and say, oh, those turnovers were okay. Hey, it happens. He can't do, you can never accept that as a coach. You can't ever accept that as a coach. So to me, again, I get it. I know why. And that's the reason why I'm not nervous about this at all. You turn the ball over 7 times, you have no chance. Let me say this. If the roles were reversed, if the 49ers had turned the ball over 7 times to us, we'd have beat them by 70.
Right. Well, and there's no question that, you know, that's what was so painful about this game was, is you could just see that. I'm still going to say it, and I know 49ers fans have been ripping the heck out of me on my own blog because of some of the things I've written, but I don't believe the 49ers have a pretty tough defense. I do not believe the 49ers have a better team. I watched that offense. You get that many turnovers, and you only win by 2 touchdowns. That's crazy. But I will say this about the fumbles. I understand where you're coming from, Wolf. The problem is...
It's the only perspective I can offer.
I guess to me, in some ways, though, you're saying it's just going to be part of this, and they're just going to hit. You know, I guess at this point, I mean, Tim Hightower didn't fumble this much last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, so he just hit a run of bad luck that people are hitting the ball wrong?
I mean, is it an aberration for Tim Hightower? Because he has, what, 4 fumbles in the first quarter this year?
Yeah. Well, look at that Timmy Hightower run. Look what he did. He cut the thing back.
Yeah.
He did a spin, turned around, and as he spun around, and the ball, was it waving?
No,
the ball wasn't waving, but he saw Goldson coming to safety, and he ducked his head, and Goldson hit the ball with his helmet perfectly.
Right.
Right on his back. You know, it was a situation where I don't even think Timmy saw him coming. But again, I guess what I'm saying is stuff happens when you play this game, and you could be... I asked Coach Wisenhunt, I said, do you think the guys were careless with the ball? He said, not at all.
No, and he
not
said that.
Not at all.
He said that to
it
us.
It happens is what I'm saying.
Right.
I think it was an anomaly, a complete freak of nature that it happened 5 times that Cardinal players fumbled the ball. Now Kurt Warner fumbling the ball is something completely different.
Is. You're absolutely right.
The sack was there, and twice it was with a 3-man rush, which is inexcusable. That you get that kind of pressure, sack Kurt Warner, and fumble the ball twice.
Well, the thing is, though, to say it's an anomaly, the problem is it happened with Hightower 2 weeks in a row. I know you're saying, like, on Hyphen's fumble, where he was trying to switch the ball. He's got one guy on the entire field that can affect him in that moment, and it's Patrick Willis, and he's right behind him, and he's got to know he's there. How do you not know that there's a possibility that hand's going to swipe?
Yeah.
How do you not know that? So well, that's how I look at it.
The only thing I want to do is offer this right here. Fans, I get it. I get where fans are outraged by this, and rightfully so. But again, I cannot help it. I will always come from a former player's perspective. Right. That's what I was. I know that there are times and situations where you're holding onto the ball and you're doing everything you can not to fumble. And guess what? It happens. And that's why I think it happened at such a rate last Monday night against the 49ers that I consider it to be an anomaly.
All right, let me ask this on Cardinals Underground. Coming off the Niners' loss in week 1, I know talking to a lot of guys on the offense, they saw that defensive approach the Niners employed for almost the first half of the season. And that's the way it works in the NFL. If something works, you will see that the next 3 weeks at least. Teams will duplicate that. So is there anything the Niners did defensively that the Cardinals are going to see the rest of December? They might see in January? I mean, is there anything that the Niners do that maybe other teams do not that just seems to handcuff the Cardinals' offense and makes Kurt Warner always look somewhat uncomfortable and never lets him get into that groove that number 13 usually gets into?
I'm going to go back to what Wolf pointed out after that very first game and what he's pointed out many, many times, which is if the other team can provide a kind of pass rush with three or four guys, this offense is going to have some issues. Now, do I think that's the Lions? No. Do I think that's the Rams? Probably not. I don't know. I haven't seen enough about the Packers. The Packers have not played all that great on the road, and they have to come here. And that game may be completely – that may be another preseason game if the Packers end up coming back here for the playoffs. You know Ken Whisenhunt isn't going to show anything in that game. Now, once we get deeper in the playoffs or whoever you're playing, now you're going to start seeing teams that, again, you would think – would be able to get some pass rush with a regular four-man line or four rushers. That is what I would be concerned about if I'm the Cardinals.
Because I think a lot of fans are wondering, okay, wait a minute. We shut down and completely nullified Jared Allen, but Ahmad Brooks looked like LT. What's going on here, right? I mean, and
that's a great point.
And I'm wondering, I mean, you know, and I know fans have said this to me, well, why didn't they employ some of that same, because it happened in week one against the Niners, right? Why didn't they maybe go with some of that Minnesota game plan and a little more tight ends, a little more chip blocks off the edge there? You know, I mean, because that obviously was very effective against the Vikings. So I'm just wondering if there's anything you think, Wolf, I know you look at the game film, that teams are apt to duplicate, or is that just a Singletary defense, and that's a team that knows the Cardinals very well, and no one else is able to duplicate something like that?
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about that, Paulie, because, again, I don't have the film. I don't have the advantage of sitting in a coach's room and listening to what they were saying. I will say this. The 49ers did not come after. They did not come after Kurt Warner. They did it, I think, maybe twice.
Blitz-wise?
Yes, yeah. Out of memory right now. They did not go after Kurt Warner, okay? They employed not only a three-man rush and a four-man rush from time, sometimes a two-man rush, which just blew me away. They dropped nine,
yeah.
And I still wonder whether or not
somebody... And they forced an interception with one of them.
And I still wonder if somebody blew an assignment on that, all right? I've seen Belichick do it from time to time, rush two, drop nine, but I've never seen the 49ers do that, okay? So, but again, I'm not willing to say that that wasn't a mental error, because I only saw him do it twice in this game, but... That is the key to getting after Kurt Warner. Anytime you can do that, anytime you can disrupt the timing of Kurt Warner and the chemistry that he's got with these receivers, that's the reason why in week number one, and even in this game, we saw Shante Spencer. We saw a lot of guys walk up over Larry Fitzgerald and really sell out, press him and try to beat him up on the line of scrimmage, disrupt his timing, the timing that he's got with Kurt Warner and Anquan Boldin. Pretty much the same thing right there, but they were not going to let anything get past them. We're not going to let anything get deep. They played seven in the box on a regular basis, and that's one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals were able to run the ball as effectively as they did in rundown situations because of that.
You know, here's the other thing I think we can say, you know, based on the fact you turned the ball over seven times. I mean, as you mentioned, Darren, it was still a one possession game early fourth quarter. Yep. I mean, you know, a year ago, it ends up being lopsided, like the Minnesota loss, the Philly loss, you know, the New England loss. As Levi Brown told me on Friday as part of the Paulie Pigskin report, he said, look, last year things would go wrong and we'd cave in. This year we fight. That's the difference between 2008 and 2009.
There was no, 17-0 at halftime, and there was a feeling like, you know, we just turned the ball over five times in the first half. We're down 17-0. We can do this. And they played like it in the second half. Now, they never clicked. They never looked good. Even in that third quarter before they had the sixth turnover, they still never looked that smooth.
Right.
They were never dictating to the defense.
Yes,
it was the other way around.
It was always painful in one way, shape, or form. But, you know, Beanie has the ball. They're riding him back into this game. They give him the ball over and over. He's playing well. He makes a nice 24-yard catch. I mean, I thought he was the star of the game, and I think for sure he would have been the hero had they been able to come back. Unfortunately, he fumbled. Unfortunately, it was deep in their territory. And again, you start looking at the 49ers getting an 8-yard touchdown drive, a 16-yard touchdown drive. They go 8-yard drive before they kick a field goal. That's 17 points. You know, they did have that light, nice drive right before halftime with Crabtree, and I'll give them that.
And give them credit.
And,
yes.
And I will. And look, they played well enough to win the game,
yes.
And their defense did force the turnovers, but man, you look at what was left on the table and you just pull your hair out.
It is unbelievable. And I think the start, the first half of this game really had an awful lot to do. And in particular, the first two turnovers that led directly to 10 points.
Yep.
I thought that really energized the 49ers sideline and got them into this game and really got them off to the type of start that they wanted here. In that first half alone, 17-0. leading the Cardinals, as you mentioned, at the half. Think about this. The Cardinals had seven possessions in the first half. Five of them ended on a turnover. Five of them. And here's the thing. You turn the ball over deep in your territory twice. That leads directly to 10 points. And then the three turnovers you have is on their 28, their 38, and their 41. As you're getting ready to go in and score points, you're turning it over. That is where it was so brutal for the Cardinals. Not only the fact that they had seven possessions and five turnovers, but again, guess how many plays the 49ers ran in that first half? 44 offensive plays, which is unheard of. Unheard of. 44 offensive plays. The Arizona Cardinals overall only had 51 offensive plays run in the entire game. They had 24 in that first half. 24 plays to 44 for the 49ers. That's why I look at this game as being a complete aberration. You know, just an abomination. Something that is not going to happen to the Cardinals again this season. I'll make that prediction.
Well, there's been two of them this year. There was the Carolina game, obviously, and then this game against the Niners. What they have in common? All the turnovers, right? Yeah, the five picks by Kurt Warner in the Carolina game.
And a fumble.
Game. Right, and the fumble. So, I mean, look at the turnover ratio right now on the season. I mean, because here's the other thing that's just mystifying. The Cardinals are -8. Eight below sea level as a team, and they're on the verge of clinching the division. I mean,
never,
the Lions.
Never see a team with a winning record that are -8.
Well, I mean, but again, look at the Lions. The Lions are only -11, and they're 2-11 right now.
But again, you go back; they were -6 against Carolina, and they're -5 this past weekend. There's a -11. Now, I don't want to go all Clancy Pendergast and say, "Well, if we just didn't do this and this, we would have played a great game." But you really, I mean, you take two losses; a loss is a loss. And you know, otherwise you're 8-3 and you're right around, you know, even on the turnovers. I mean, I guess if nothing else, like Anquan said, hopefully we got all the turnovers out of our system.
Well, you look at a Lions team that has lost 34 of its past 37 games. Ouch. And that was the streak that began. Remember early November 2007, right here in the AZ when they came to town, and they actually had legitimate playoff hopes. And the Cardinals won that game, and then the Lions went on a skid from which they have not recovered. They are 2-11 this year, and literally I had to go and go, who did they beat this year? They beat Washington, and they actually beat Cleveland. And so there you go. So the Cardinals go into Detroit. I mean, how risky is it to say, you know, maybe we should rest Larry Fitzgerald? Honestly, we don't know. We have no idea. But, you know, do you take that approach at this point? I mean, can you do that against the 2-11 Lions, Wolf?
Just depends how he is.
Yeah.
You know, depends how he feels. If he is not 100%, I would say to you, yeah, go ahead, shut him down if he's not 100%. But, you know,
but do you approach it differently?
You
because
gotta be
it's
careful.
The Lions.
No, not at all. Yeah.
They could be
totally,
playing the Vikings.
Exactly.
They could be playing the Lions.
It is totally...
Yeah,
predicated on Larry Fitzgerald and how he feels. And by the way, you're setting a precedent here if you're Coach Wiz as well. Are you going to do this, or would you do this for anybody, or is it because it's Larry Fitzgerald? See, this is the thing that a coach has to think about here. And to me, if he's not 100% healthy, I would go ahead and try to sit him down.
I'm of the feeling, and we went through this with the Kurt Warner thing in terms of the injuries. To me, either a guy is good enough to play or he's not good enough to play. And I know there's degrees in there.
Sure.
But if he's not ready to play, then I don't care if you're playing the Lions or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the Pittsburgh Steelers. It shouldn't matter.
He or the 1-12 Rams next week.
Right.
But that's his decision. It's got to be the player, right?
That's fine. But if he is good enough to play, then you play him. And I don't care if it's the Lions or the Vikings or the whatevers, because it doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're kind of in the same position with Mike Gandy. He missed a game. He came out early against Tennessee. He missed the Vikings game. They tried to bring him back last week. He just looks like he's struggling so much with that injury right now, the pelvic injury. He eventually came out late in the game. You know, to me right now, he's a guy who I want to go all Anquan. I want to sit him at least one or two games, maybe two, and get him healthy, because he's not getting healthy enough, it doesn't look like.
No, I totally agree.
Well, I can't believe we have breaking news on a podcast, but literally our own Jim Omohundro just handed me an email that came in. See, we do this Ask Wolf segment on Maximum Cardinals, right, Wolf?
Yeah.
Fans email in. They ask you a question. They try and get a chance to win some free tickets, right?
Some excellent questions as well.
Well, I'm not sure I would use that word here. There's nothing really I can do. Once again, there are needs and there are wants. I really don't want to read this, but I need to. It's part of my job. And so from Amanda, we get the email, quote, "Where does your inspiration, Ron Wolfley, come from to drive you into the legend you have become?" Oh, my goodness. I cannot believe I just read that email from Amanda. I mean, askwolf@cardinals.nfl.net. I mean, can we track Amanda down to make sure she hasn't been drinking? Please. No boozing and texting. All right, please.
Yeah, Amanda, the answer to that is easy. It comes from the dark corners, the dark corners of being a wedge buster for 10 years in the NFL. Bad things, man. Bad things.
I don't know what's worse. The question asking Wolf how he's become the legend he has, or Wolf taking it seriously and actually answering it. I'm not sure what's worse there, Darren Urban. Yeah. I do know this.
In my own mind, Paul.
Well, and Amanda's mind, apparently.
Right.
Didn't you pick that up? Right. The dark corners? Yeah. You didn't get it?
Maybe Amanda is actually that nurse at Dr. Cool's office who had you pick Wolf as the nose tackle. Maybe there's the same sort of football acumen there. Alrighty, for the legend, for Darren Urban, for Paul Calvisi and Jim Omohundro and Amanda, that's Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com.